So on Friday in Pakistan, there was an extraordinary escape by a hostage being held by Taliban captors. The hostage was a reporter from our partner, the New York Times, David Rode, Pulitzer Prize winner, had been in the hands of the Taliban since last November when he was captured outside Kabul while working on a book about the region. On Friday, he climbed over a wall on the second floor of a compound in North Waziristan. He was joined by an Afghan journalist who was also held captive along with their driver. The driver did not escape. Now, you may not have known that David Rode was held hostage at all. That's because the New York Times has kept this entire story secret in an effort to protect Mr. Rode and to facilitate his escape. Bill Keller is the executive editor of the New York Times who followed this for the last 7 months. He joins us now. Bill, congratulations. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Good morning, John.
I mean, I guess it's fair to say that there is no more difficult and larger responsibility for any executive editor, besides the veracity of the news, than the safety of your reporters all around the world.
Yeah, and of course, this is one of those excruciating cases where the two responsibilities came into conflict. I mean, obviously, our instinct, our default position is that we report stuff, and sitting on a story feels unnatural and it makes us cringe. On the other hand, I have to make decisions about what's in the best welfare of these people who go out and take sometimes great risks to bring back the news, and in this case, it was, I think, a pretty clear consensus that keeping the story quiet and imploring all our colleagues and other news organizations to keep it quiet was the right thing to do, just in terms of keeping the danger to David as low as we possibly could.
Now, Bill Keller, for all kinds of reasons, we're restricted in the sort of factual information that we're going to get into here, and we can talk about why that is in a moment. But it's a hard question, but I have to ask it. How much of the Daniel Pearl story, Wall Street Journal journalist who, of course, was killed in Pakistan years ago at the beginning of the whole 9/11 period, how much of that story was a cautionary tale for you, thinking about the welfare of David Rode?
Oh, Danny Pearl has a number of very close friends here in the Times newsroom, so that story was one that hovered over the whole experience. And there are a number of others. We spent a lot of time talking to executives at various companies, including the Wall Street Journal, but not only, who've had reporters or other employees taken hostage in the Middle East region. And we sought their advice. There's sadly a rather large club of people who have this sort of experience, and it's something of a support group, we discovered. Hmm.
So do you think that your strategy to keep the lid on this story bought David Rode time? Because his escape at least looks to me as though it was serendipity, that he found an opportunity and he managed to get out on his own.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you at this point whether anything we did made any difference. It does feel like serendipity. But I will tell you, I talked to David this morning about a lot of things. But in the course of it, he said one point he wanted to make was that the decision to keep this quiet was absolutely right. He said his captors were completely obsessed with his value as a commodity, and a lot of news coverage would have made them more determined than ever just to hang on to him.
Wow, that's a huge piece of information. You were also in Iran this last week and reporting on the story, of course, which is in the same region. It involves some of the same issues, Islamists versus people who want to run governments in a very different way. First of all, how much of a distraction was the Rode story as you tried to cover Iran? And secondly, did you worry about the fate of David Rode as the situation in Iran began to unfold?
We've been living with the David Rode situation for, 200 and some days. I learned that he was set free when my plane landed back in New York after I'd left Iran. So his case was, while it's always been a kind of nagging presence in the back of my mind, wasn't a live issue most of the time that I was in Iran. I mean, one thing they do have in common, though, is that Iran itself is becoming a somewhat more treacherous place to work, particularly since the election and the crackdown by the government. And so once again, we're thinking very hard about, you know, what steps we might have to take to protect our people.
You know, Bill Keller, I have this conversation with a lot of your reporters. I don't want to drag them out into an area where they have to speculate because they're not comfortable doing that. They always yell at me when I suggest that they do it. But it seems to me, with the situation in Iran and this escape of David Rode, that it is perhaps fair to say that something's shifting in the Islamic world. There's something going on there that it seems very, very different from even 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would connect what, you know. I mean, David's does seem like a combination of planning, desperation, and good luck. And I'm not sure what, you know, sort of larger geopolitical conclusions can be drawn from that. There may be some. I don't know. Iran, on the other hand, is something quite profound is happening there. I mean, there are essentially two pillars of the Iranian regime. One of them is clerical, religious, Islamic, and it's supposedly made up of this very sort of unanimous consensus view of what the Quran tells you about how to run your society. And the other is democratic, secondary pillar, which has an elected president, an elected parliament. And that one is supposed to provide a kind of legitimacy and a safety valve.
But I think you can. Exactly. But I think you can also say that with the pictures coming out of Iran, these pictures of Iranian victims in the streets, suddenly the pictures of Western reporters and Westerners being held hostage and victims of Islamist forces don't have the cachet that they used to. These pictures from the streets of Tehran are more powerful.
Well, they're certainly plenty powerful. I mean, this is, you know, I've been clicking onto YouTube regularly just to watch the video since I left. They have a profound importance inside Iran in terms of keeping the fire alive and mobilizing people, and a tremendously important role outside in keeping the rest of us aware of what's going on there.
Well, Bill, I'll put a moratorium on the speculation at this point. One thing you don't have to speculate on in a time of difficult headlines for the newspaper business and your paper particularly, tell me something about the mood at the New York Times this morning.
I think the mood is pretty ecstatic and relieved because of David's freedom, and he has a lot of friends here, and it's nice to have a good story to tell, and I expect once he's had a little family time, he will tell it.
Well, Bill Keller, executive editor for our partner, the New York Times, it's safe for me to say, have a good day.
Thank you very much.
I think you will. Bill Keller, of course, talking about the situation with David Rode, who escaped last Friday from 7 months of captivity by the Taliban. We're also keeping up with the latest from Iran. When you look at the news on TV or in photos, your takeaway can come from all kinds of sources. Listen to this.
In every city that you see people are demonstrating, they've got these English placards because they want not only to show to themselves that they are different class, but also they want the world to know about them and what is happening to them.
Bakr Moeen, former head of the BBC's Persian Language Service, looking at the images as the rest of us are out of Iran. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.